appropriate. I did not plan that, but I think it was very appropriate that we sing about the cross before we start talking about this particular subject. Because I do mean what I just prayed. I sincerely mean the fact that if we truly appreciate what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, we'd never say no to God again. Never. Never. We'd say with tears in our eyes, whatever you want, Lord, I'm ready. And that's my prayer this morning. We're going to be looking at a story. It's interesting. I was teasing the Sunday school class. We've been going through the book of Galatians. And in going through the book of Galatians, we've been talking about Paul. Well, it's interesting. I think the past three or four sermons that I've preached in the church on Sunday have had something to do with Paul and his story. Well, this just happened to be one of those messages where it is in the circumference of Paul's story. Not particularly about Paul, but definitely about a man who was used of God. His name, Ananias. Please look with me first at the storyline that we're taking. This is where we get all of our sermon this morning, is from this one story. Acts 9, 10 through 18. Now, we have to set the story, of course, because some may not be aware. This is after Paul had been struck blind on the road to Damascus. And Jesus had spoken to him and said, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who in the world are you?" And Jesus told him, "I'm Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, and you've been persecuting me." And Saul, at the time, was his name. And Saul said, "I'm sorry, what can I do?" And Jesus told him to go to Damascus. Go on to Damascus, where he was going to go and arrest Christians and throw them in jail and execute them. But now all of a sudden, Jesus had a whole new plan for Paul. But in order to begin Paul's ministry, he had another call for somebody. And that's our man Ananias. Let's look, please, at this. In Damascus, this is verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he was praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and has placed his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. This story has some tremendous lessons, and I must admit to you, normally my Sunday morning lessons, Sunday morning sermons are a mixture of evangelical and edification to the body. Usually I have sermons that share the gospel every Sunday morning and then also give fruit for the church to think about. This message today is primarily for Christians. We definitely won't leave anybody out. Hang in there. But if you are a Christian this morning, you know you are going to heaven because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This message is for you. I want us to look at certain aspects of this story. The first thing I want us to understand is probably the most important point that I want us to see. Ananias, in verse 10, he said, "Yes, Lord, here am I, here am I." He was available. Verse 10 said, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, "Ananias." And then he goes, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord." He was available to God's calling. You know, folks, there have been many biblical men who have been available to God's calling. One that comes to mind that we talked about many, many months ago on our Wednesday study, it was Abraham. Abraham, an older man. He was a time of retirement in his life, a time to settle back and enjoy his wealth. And God comes to him at age 75. He says, you are going to book it and travel all over the world for me. And so we know that as he gets his calling, let's look at this in Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, show your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. 75-year-old man, very wealthy. He's leaving everything behind except what he could carry on the road and caravan along, all because God told him to. Because he got up, and we see in the next verses, Genesis 12:4. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He was available. He was listening for God to speak to him. Some of us don't realize that Abraham had an ungodly father and grandfather. They were idol worshipers. And that even makes that story that much more dramatic. That even in a sinful environment, he was listening and available to God. Another man that shows the perfect response is Isaiah. Isaiah, when he was called by God, let's look at that please in Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah is writing this himself. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Folks, the point to this particular part of the message, are you available for God? When he calls you to do a task, when he calls you to do service for him, are you available? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, send me? You know, the first thing we got to do is what? Be in his will, seeking his will, in his will. If you're out chasing after sinful rabbits out there, you're not going to be where God can reach you. I can't tell you the number of times people have probably missed their calling because they went somewhere secular, and I'm not picking on anybody, okay? I'm talking about a purposeful missing of church, and they purposely missed church because it wasn't important to them. And they did not go to church, and God had some special calling for them that Sunday. And I think it's so sad when we miss those callings. I don't know how many we get in a lifetime, but I don't miss any of them. Amen? They're important. They're important. And our time with God is so important. But more important than our time with God is when he speaks to us, we are open. So many times, I really think a lot of people miss their calling because they got their hearing aid turned down. They don't want to hear the calling. They're not available. God gets the answering machine on the phone, you know, that I get so often. Leave a message and we'll call you back. You know what? God doesn't call back many times when he's calling with a calling. We need to be available. Available. Please. Please spend time in prayer. Spend time reading the Word of God. How many times have you given God time alone with just you this week? I share with you, this is one of the hardest things in the world for me. I confess it. I confess it. Because I'm always busy doing something with somebody, either the kids, the youth, or, you know, talking to somebody, counseling somebody here, you know, trying to find some time with Bonnie or whatever it may be. But time alone with the Lord has become something that I forget about. And it was so interesting because Bonnie and I had an occasion this week to go by that beautiful lake there on 92? That's 92 over to Frisco, right? Frisco. 91, of course it is. I was just testing you. That beautiful lake there on 91. And we pulled along there and I sat on that rock. And I looked over that lake, and even though Bonnie was there, she wasn't. Because it was just me and the Lord. And what a blessing that was. What a blessing that was. To spend time just talking to God. But more important, listening to God. And that's what we fail to do. That's what we fail to do. Please, make yourself available. Please. Give him top priority in your life. Is he more important than you to you? He must be number one in your life, Christians. He must be number one. That ruins our availability many times because we're too busy serving self. The second thing I want us to notice in verse 11, because he was available, God gave him a job. Now, he gave him a job, but he gave him very special and specific instructions. This is where if he'd have stopped listening halfway through, he wouldn't have heard what the job was. And that's where we fail a lot of times. This is the real point of listening, because we hear what we want to hear, but when God's not done talking, we've already turned it off and started watching the TV. We need to listen to God. Listen, Acts 9:11 says, the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Now, that's pretty specific. Now, you say, well, God never gives me specific information like that. And I'll be honest with you, I share that frustration with you. But you know why we don't get it sometimes? Because we don't give him long enough to listen to him and let him give us specific instructions. He may call us to do something, and before he has a chance to get it clarified in our hearts and minds, we're off doing what we want to do. We can even do good things the wrong way, amen? We must let him lead us. He listened, and God spoke to him. We don't give God a chance to talk. It's hard for him to get a word in edgewise. We are so busy asking God for things that we don't say, God, what do you want from me? We are constantly doing the Christmas list with God. Santa Claus, this is what I want. He is not Santa Claus. He is God Almighty. And we must understand that when we approach him. You know that song that says, open my eyes, Lord, open my eyes, that I can see Jesus? You know, there's another part in there that says, open my ears. And I think that's the hardest thing for us to do. Because if we open our ears and truly listen to God, we're going to hear him ask us to do something we don't want to do. So if we don't hear him, God didn't ask me to do that. It's because we didn't hear him ask us. Open our ears and our hearts. That God can truly speak. I just put this quote down here. The first step to wisdom is silence. The second step is listening. Now that, of course, I know wisdom comes from the Word of God, and I know somebody's probably thinking, he's not quoting the Word of God right now. But you know what I'm saying. We must be still. We must be silent and let God speak to our hearts. Quit telling him what you know. Quit telling him how smart you are. Because you know what God's doing? Shaking his head going, son, daughter, you aren't near as smart as you think you are. And if you just be quiet a little while, I can tell you how to get smarter. But you won't be quiet long enough for me to inform you. We must have a heart that's willing to listen so that God may speak and share with us so much he wants to give us. The next thing I want us to look at, verse 12, is God made provision for him to get the job done. He gave Paul a vision. 9:12 says, in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. There was another story in the Bible that we looked at not too long ago in Sunday school, and that was Elijah and the widow woman with her oil and all that was going on with her. And the interesting thing about that story is, Elijah was called to that village, and if you remember the particulars of that story, he was being hunted down by Jezebel at the time. And when God sent him to this city of Zarephath, he go into the city of Zarephath, and the strange thing about it, that's where Jezebel was from. And so it's like sending him right back to the enemy's camp. And so Elijah was so obedient, he went, and he's not quite sure why he's going. And he says, well, you go up to this woman, she's going to be ready for you. Well, when he gets there, she had been prepared. And you know what she had? She had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. Now, how silly would it have been? God sent him all the way to the enemy's territory. He gets there, and he tells him, multiply what she has. And she didn't have anything. Elijah would have had a right to say, well, God, she ain't got anything to multiply. I can't multiply zero. But you know what? God didn't do that. He gave her the oil and the flour to multiply. And as we know, he multiplied it for such a long time that it equaled great wealth fed them for months upon months upon months, and they even had some left over. It was awesome. Why? Because God had provided the tools that Elijah needed to perform the miracle. Guess what? When you listen to God's call and God says, I want you to do this, He's going to prepare the way for you to do it. He's going to give you the tools. I've shared with many of you many times when I go out on visitation. I haven't had it, I'll be honest, I haven't been here too often. But in many other areas, I go on visitation and we'd go into someone's house and we'd go to share the gospel. And I'd go in, I remember this one lady, it was just incredible. I went in to share the gospel with her and I said, do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? And after we had talked a while, I was ready to share the gospel. She says, yes, I was raised in a Christian home. I had my daddy was a pastor. Yes, I know that. And I go, well, why haven't you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know you need to receive Jesus as your Savior to be saved? She says, I just haven't done that yet. And I said, are you ready? And she goes, yes. And we prayed the sinner's prayer, and boom, she was saved. Boom, just like that. I call it fruit falling off the tree. It is amazing, and I'm not saying this braggartly because I'm sure I have missed my appointments, but it would be terrible to find out how many of us all in this room have missed appointments like that, where God had that person prepared for you. Just perfectly ripe fruit, ready to fall off. You can just bump the tree and it falls off. And we were too busy doing something else, watching TV, going to a football game, going to fishing, going hunting, watching a movie. I pick on me, see, so you don't think I'm just picking on you guys. Whatever that priority is in your life, that you've ignored God's calling, it has kept you from the appointed time. And that's why it's so important to be available and to know He's got it all worked out. He's got it all worked out. The next thing I want us to see is that Ananias was scared. And he didn't want to do it. You know, sometimes we say, some of these guys get called and we go, of course they go. God spoke to them. Who's not going to build an ark when God says, if you don't build an ark, Noah, you're going to drown. You know, of course he'd build an ark. That's easy for us to say. But a lot of times we try to take that easy road out. Well, if God spoke to me, I'd do the same thing because it's easy for them. Let me tell you something. Ananias' call was horrible. Saul had executed hundreds of people and arrested hundreds of family members, tortured people probably in Jerusalem already. Saul had a reputation for destroying the church of Jesus Christ in a real way. And yet now Ananias is supposed to go witness to this guy, supposed to go help him. Ananias says, God, may I paraphrase the Dennis Hendrickson version? Are you crazy? I don't want to go talk to this guy. He's looking for me right now to hang me from a rafter here. I don't want to go help him find me. He was afraid. Now, two things I want us to get from that. Number one is, you know what? When you and I are afraid to follow God's calling, we're in good company. We're in good company. Sometimes we get so afraid, we start letting Satan push us down and make us feel so guilty that we give up on the calling. Every missionary, every man that's ever been called into ministry across the sea has given it a great deal of consideration. Very few of us that had missions across the sea did we say, oh, well, I guess we'll just sell everything and get rid of everything and just go across the ocean. It was a long prayer time for Bonnie and I. In fact, it took years because I got the calling and she got it later, and Dave and Charlotte will share that it was not something they got one day and left the next day. You pray about it. I put it like this: any soldier who's getting ready to go into a battle where he knows he might die and isn't a little afraid, there's something wrong with his brain faculty. You talk to heroes who have been heroes in the wars, and they're not going to tell you, I was never afraid. Sure, I was afraid, but I did it anyway. Fear is a part of fighting an enemy. And let me tell you something. Satan is the enemy. And anytime God calls you to do something, whether it is big, world, internationally big, or whether it's to come down to the church and pick up the trash in the parking lot, it is just as important to God. And we must understand that. If it's just as important to God, guess what? Satan is going to just get just as nasty trying to stop you. You have no idea how important your particular calling is. I want us to see also, not only was he afraid, and we can be afraid, but he was afraid and God didn't strike him down for it, did he? Sometimes we have the, you know, we think that God is just waiting there with a bullwhip, that as soon as we question him, he's going to whip us with that bullwhip and we won't be able to get up for 6 years because he's going to punish us so bad. That's not God. God's not like that. All through the Bible, there's guys all through the Bible that question God and say, wait a minute, God, this doesn't seem right. You and I need to talk about this. And they didn't drop dead of a heart attack. You see, God loves us to understand that we may need to question it. But you know what's interesting is you and I give up, don't ever go talk to God about it, and then we blame it on God. When God calls you to do something, go discuss it with him. Oh, but I'm too busy to do that. You're too busy. Amen? Stop and let the Lord listen to you about your calling. The next thing I want us to see is the fact that he received the promise and assurance of God. In verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. He also said, did you notice the part? I didn't have it in that part, but he says, and he's going to pay for ministry for me. He's going to suffer a lot for me. Now, I don't know whether he threw that in there just to make Ananias feel better or what. But the bottom line is, what he told Ananias is, Ananias, don't worry about it. This man is prepared to receive you. You don't have to be afraid. And you see, if we get that far where we've taken it to the Lord and we said, Lord, I know you're calling me to do this, but I'm scared to death. I've never done anything like that before. Some of you may be VBS teachers that you had to pray about. There's two or three ladies going, I know that. You pray about it, and God says, it's okay. It's okay, you can blame it all on Pastor Dennis if it doesn't work. No, he gives you confidence. He gives you the tools. He gives you answers so that you don't have to be afraid. And that's what he did with Ananias. He says, don't worry, man, I got it all worked out for you. This guy is special. This is very special what I'm calling you to do. The same as VBS teachers was. Very special indeed. He received the assurance. Folks, he tells us every day, trust me, I will take care of you. We'll just make that a general sermon right now because all of us are going through tough times financially. But you know what God says? Trust me. Trust me. I will take care. Our faith is not in the United States banking system. It's not in, back a few years ago, people had it in stocks like Amalgamated Steel. What'd you pay for that one? Or Enron, you paid for that one. If your faith is in things like that, guess what? It's going to let you down. We've seen it. Even the most secure securities of this world can fail. But folks, my God will never fail. And we must keep focused. We must have our faith in him. And in your calling, he is not going to fail. If you don't believe it, get in the Word of God. Read all those verses that say, trust me, I will take care of you. Like a father takes care of his child, I will take care of you. Please. And in this situation of a calling, we must trust him that he will take care of us. I put this down because I love to make this point to Christians. Isn't it interesting? I know some of you have heard this before, so don't ignore me. Just go ahead and hear it again. Maybe it'll help. Second, third, fourth, fifth time, sixth time. Isn't it interesting how we Christians can trust Jesus Christ with our salvation for all eternity? And we're not going to go to hell. We're going to go to heaven for all eternity. We can trust Jesus with our salvation. But we can't trust Him with our daily walk. First time anything goes wrong, oh no, God's turned against me and the whole world's falling apart. And I'm not pointing at you because three of them are pointing back at me. I'm not saying that we don't all do it. I'm saying, why in the world do we do it? Amen. If Jesus is able to buy our salvation for all eternity, you don't think He can't take care of tomorrow in this world? Of course He can. Let's try not to get into the world's paranoia and worry. Because we got something better than the world has. And that's Jesus. Now granted, in this area of what I'm applying it to today is your calling. And let me clarify something right now. If you are a Christian in this room today, at whatever point you are in your Christian walk, you still have a calling on your life. There is never any retirement. Never any retirement from our calling from Jesus Christ. It may be nothing, but all you can do is just pray for certain people. That may be all you're physically or able to do. But when God tells you to pray for them, you pray hard and fervently for them. It may be nothing more than, as I say, coming and picking up the trash out of the driveway. It may be singing songs. It may be witnessing to people. It may be finding out where some of these people are that are missing this morning. What is your calling that God has called you to do? You have one, folks, in your church. Now, a lot of folks are visiting from other churches. But you are a part of that body of Christ. And when you're not fulfilling your calling, that job is not being done properly. And we must understand that. If that one finger, that, you know, really all in all, I guess it's not that important. But let me tell you something. If I cut that off, I'd miss it. I may still be able to get hold of things. But you know what? I sure would say, boy, I wish I had that finger. And when you are missing the opportunity in your church to serve God and to fulfill the calling of God in your church body, then there's a part of the body. And you are cheating not only yourself, you're cheating God and the rest of the body. Please, please understand that. We are all called. But know that God will assure you that He's working it out. He'll get it done. Just trust Him, no matter what it is. Even if you're called to help with the youth group. Some in here, I've been already planting seeds in some calling youth group, and they're going, I don't know. They're all sweet. Aren't they all sweet? Look, they're all sweet people. Bottom line is, if God is calling you to be involved, I should have had you look over at Jennifer because she's definitely sweet. See? If God's calling you to do it, please understand He will give you the tools and the ability to fulfill that call. Whatever the call may be. The next thing I want us to look at in verse 17 is Ananias did it. You can talk to God till you're blue in the face, and you can listen to God till the cows come home, but if you never don't actually put it in the process of doing it, it's absolutely useless. Too many Christians talk a good walk, but never get out there and walk a good walk. We go to Sunday, oh man, yeah, let's do it. Oh, you mean I gotta get out of bed on Monday morning and go do something? We have all the excuses. We talk a good talk, but it's tough to get out there and walk. He did it. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared on you the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and boom, look what happened. He went where God told him to go, and a blessed miracle took place. Let me tell you something, folks. I always like to go back to football examples because that's what I draw from. Have you ever, you ladies, bear with me if you don't like football, but bear with me. You can pretty much use your imagination. The coach sends in a play, and it's an in sweep. That means right in sweep. They pull the guard, and they take the other halfback and put him out there, and it's a big sweep out that direction. They pull everybody that they can, the tackle perhaps. Put all the blockers out there, because this guy's going to come barreling around that right-hand side. Have you ever seen a play where they call a right sweep and the running back goes left? You know what happens? He gets out there and goes, oh, no. Because there's nobody out there to help him. And most of the time he ends up calling for the water boy because he meets more of the defense than he wants to. This is what happens, Christians, when you don't do what God wants you to do. If you do your own thing, if you decide, well, I know God's calling me to do this, but I don't particularly want to do that, so I'm going to go this way. And even, like I said a minute ago, even if it may look good, you're out here doing an end sweep with no blockers. You're on your own. We talked about in Sunday school, you can't do anything in this world as a Christian that's any success without Jesus Christ. Satan will always trump you. We must be in the will of God so that he's leading us. Talk about a blocker. That's my God. I'll take God every time blocking that line for me. Okay, ladies who don't like football, I'm done. I won't do any more. There were some that didn't. I could see the glaze coming over their eyes. The bottom line is this. Please, when God calls you in a direction to serve him, please don't go the other way. Whether it be through rebellion or whether it be through your own laziness or self-servingness, whatever it is, stay in God's plan because that's where he is. The next thing I want us to notice is God's power is sufficient for the job. As soon as he got there, I mean, this was not a big, like a movie. This was not like a movie. You know, in a movie, they would have stretched this scene out for hours. You know, they'd made him jumping around and casting all kinds of spells. Ananias walks up and says, okay, Saul, you're healed. Boom, bam, they're gone. He's healed. It was like the power of God. And folks, I want us to understand, when God calls you to do something and you're doing what God wants you to do, you got the power of the universe on your side. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Because God will give you miraculous answers. Moses was afraid to face the Egyptians. I love what happened in that story. But where did God show his power on that? It took Moses a long time, but after a while, Moses said, you know what? I think you better do what I'm asking you to do because God is behind me. And Christians, wouldn't it be good for us to get that way? When you start facing a trial, you face a situation that God's called you to face, you go, you know what? You better get out of my way because my God is on my side. And it gives us that confidence to know God is over all. The last thing I want us to see here today is the results were far beyond what Ananias expected. Paul. Saul became Paul. The man that witnessed to literally hundreds, thousands of people all over the world personally. And of course, the man that probably is, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, is responsible for literally millions of people going to heaven. All because of the ministry of Paul. All because Paul, once he got on fire, man, stand back, he was going. Wrote all those books, wrote more books in the Bible than anybody else. How many people been saved reading through the book of Romans? How many Christians been straightened out reading the 1 Corinthians? Paul, a man who changed the world for Jesus Christ. But if Ananias had not fulfilled his call, what may have happened to Saul? Who knows? Maybe he would have chickened out after he's blind an extra day. I don't know. I can't say. All I know is when Ananias gets to heaven, he's there now. As soon as God wants to tell him about it, he's going to see all these millions of people that Paul brought to the Lord? You are a big part of that, my boy, because you did what I told you to do. Most of you have heard the story, and forgive me, I'm going to take a great deal of liberty on this if you have heard the exact story, but I'm going to take liberty in this, that a shoe salesman was saved at a Billy Sunday crusade. And once again, I know some of you know this by heart, and I'm gonna mistell it, but you'll get the point. This salesman led another person to the Lord, who led another person to the Lord, who led another person to the Lord, who ended up being Billy Graham. One of the people that got saved in Billy Graham's ministry is another national known minister, evangelist, who has probably led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. That shoe salesman is where it all began, because he shared with one person. That may have been the only time he ever shared Jesus with somebody. I don't know. I doubt it, but it may have been. You know what? You have no idea. When God calls you to do something, it may seem small. It may seem insignificant. It may seem like no importance whatsoever. And yet it may change the world for Jesus Christ. I think of the many men that were chasing the balls for VBS. There were probably, what, Herschel? Probably, I don't know, 20 guys out there chasing the balls, because we had it out there and it was so windy that every day we actually destroyed. I think we hit one frisbee because it got too much wind. We had to chase it every time. But the wind would carry the balls out of the field, and the men would be running down the street. Doug ran about 30, 40, 50 miles every night, I think. You say, well, that's a small thing. You have no idea. You have no idea what seed was planted. We will never know till we get to heaven. Whatever calling you do for Jesus Christ, it is important. And it could possibly be the stimulus or the seed that will change the world for millions. So do not ignore it. Do not belittle it. Listen. Follow him. Let's pray. Lord, we pray a special prayer now, because we've talked about hearing God, listening to God, following God. We've talked about salvation, and because of salvation, we also should trust God, trust you. Lord, we also ask you to touch someone in this room who has never received you as Savior. If they do not know you as their personal Savior, they do not know they're going to heaven, Lord, please let them know they have no communication with you, because their sin is in the way. In order for them to start talking and listening to you, first they've got to receive you as Savior. Oh, Jesus, touch them right now. If there's anyone in this room that does not know they'll spend eternity in heaven, please don't let them leave today without knowing. Lord, I pray that you touch all of us Christians in a very special way this morning. There is no doubt that we are being called for you, that we are being put in service for you. Lord, help us to seek opportunities, to listen and be available. Help us to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, Lord. God, I just pray right now that you help us to be attentive to you when you speak to us. And then, Lord, help us to be honest. But then, Lord, help us to say, yes, Lord, send me. Give us the strength, give us the courage, and give us the tools to complete our task. In you, we can do all things. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the musicians come forward,